Welcome to the Steelers Battle Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody, all the way from Texas.
Hey, what's up?
Cody, how you doing?
This is fine. I'm doing good. What are we doing right now?
I don't know.
I am good.
I'm in a good mood.
That's what we need. That's what we need. Football's back officially. Thursday night football happened with the kickoff between the Rams and the... No, I can't remember.
The Buffalo Bills,
and the Bills spanked them.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, it was a defensive game for most part. I mean, what was it, like six turnovers as a whole, the whole game between two teams?
A lot.
It was crazy.
You would have thought Tony Romo was out there, man.
Ooh, yikes.
Sorry, Cowboy fans. Welcome to Dallas.
Taking shots in Texas.
That's right. You had to. But no, I'm good, man. How are you doing? It's exciting.
Oh,
Saturday
I'm good,
morning.
Man. Saturday, I got a lift in already with the wife. So get that exercise out of the way so I can be lazy and watch football all day today.
What are you drinking today? You making those Long Islands you like to make?
It's too early in the day for that, man. I won't be able to. Yeah, I'll be incoherent by dinner time if I start on Long Islands at noon. That's no good.
That's
so
fair enough.
We're going to stay away from that. And that's an evening only thing.
That is fair. Hey, real quick apology to you guys. We had some technical difficulties on the last episode. It appears that it only showed up for some people on Spotify, or like nobody on Spotify and only some people on the Apple podcast. But we thank you guys for being consistent with downloading and listening. This episode should go out like normal. We're hoping, we're praying, we're double checking. We'll see what happens though. But this episode, we're going to talk about the Bengals as we play them week one in Cincinnati, basically Kentucky, let's be real. And so we're going to talk about injuries for us and them, as well as the up-to-date Steelers news. Not a whole lot to talk about there, and then go over the depth chart. And then also James and I will share our three keys to success against the Bengals. So we're bringing that back. So.
That's right. That's right. We're going to talk three keys. But before we get into any of this, we always tell you guys, if you hook us up, we're going to hook you up. We got a brand new 5-star review and rating on Apple Podcast. A friend and supporter of the show, Catherine Yezzi, says, I have listened to many podcasts, and this is by far the best Steelers podcast. They keep me up to date on all the Steelers news, and I also love James's voice. It's my favorite. Big shout out, Catherine.
What do I got to do on here to talk so people like my voice?
That's it, man. You talk like that every time. We're going to get 105 star reviews in 1 week.
Absolutely not.
Come on. Come on.
Welcome.
Hey, if you do live in the Erie area, shout out to Catherine. She is in the jewelry business. Doll Campers Jewelry Connection. That's where you're going to find
Doll
Catherine.
Doll Campers Jewelry Connection. That's how it sounds.
That's the place, man. You go there, you find Catherine. She'll make sure you walk out happy. So shout out. Appreciate the support and the love here.
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk Steelers news. First off, right off the bat, making money, making room. Love it. Steelers did rework TJ Watt's deal to free up $6.75 million in cap room. I'm not sure what they're going to do with that yet, but they freed it up.
And a lot of people make the assumption that by doing this, that means Pittsburgh's about to make a move. This is standard operating procedure right here. Pittsburgh likes to go into the year with about $8 or $9 million worth of cap space. That way, every time you make a move, because when you call somebody up from the practice squad, that costs money. You don't get to do that for free.
Yep.
There is money in against the cap that's associated with that. When somebody goes to the injured reserve and you bring somebody else up, that all costs money. So they do this to make sure that they don't get in a situation where later on during the season, they're scratching, trying to figure out where they can come up with the money to sign this bare minimum guy because a tackle went down or a guard went down or a corner went down or whatever.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about that if you got this kind of money. This is what Pittsburgh did last year. They had about $9 million in cap space before the season started. They were able to roll about six or seven of that into this year's salary cap because of it. So having this is exactly what you're supposed to do to be a responsible general manager. Omar Khan learned this from Kevin Colbert, and because of it, here we are right before week one with $8.9 million available. So if things happen, we can make moves. So hats off to Omar. He learned, he paid attention. And because of it, we should not be in a situation where we're trying to figure out how to get somebody on the roster and don't have the cap space to do so.
Yep. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me all day, every day.
That's right, man.
Now we got injuries to talk about.
Yeah, man, we were worried. You know, Deontay Johnson was limited most of the week with that shoulder injury. By the time Friday came around, he was a full participant in practice. Marcus Allen hadn't really practiced all offseason yet. That hamstring he injured real early in the offseason, missed all three preseason games. He was a full participant on Friday as well, which is great, being the number one personal protector to Presley Harvin III in the punt scheme. That is important to have him out there. Chukwuma Okorafor went down Thursday with a back injury. Nobody knew what was going on. He missed the whole practice. Well, he was a full participant Friday. So must have been maybe he slept wrong on his bed or something. Just woke up and something was sore, didn't feel good.
Something. I don't know.
I've been there, man. I've woke up. I've gone to bed. My back's perfectly fine. Woke up and it feels awful. So I've been there, you know, and sometimes you just get your chiropractor and you feel like $1 million the next day, man. Maybe that's all this was. Let's hope that's all it was, because I don't feel like we have good backup offensive tackles right now. So
Not yet.
No. I was really sweating it all day on Thursday. I was like, oh my God, man, if we have to start freaking Chaz Green or somebody at right tackle, this is not going to go well. If Trent Scott starts a single game for us this year, it's not going to go well. So I'm very grateful to see Okorafor healthy and ready to go. And then the other one might be just a contusion to the birth certificate, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. Cam Hayward held out practice both Thursday and Friday on a coach's decision, which basically just means, hey, I don't want you tweaking anything, and I want you to be 100% rested for the game.
Yep. We like that, though. We like having him fresh and ready to go for the game, especially, you know, Cam Hayward's not getting any younger, but I do believe that that extra rest helps him out a lot when it comes to being fresh. What do you got?
One note also, I made an incorrect assumption on Marcus Allen on last show. I said that when they released him and then brought him back afterwards, that saved him about $1 million or so. Pittsburgh actually made sure to give him that guaranteed contract, that $2.46 whatever $1 million. They gave him that money still, even though they could have absolutely resigned him at a lesser dollar amount, and I kind of assumed they would. They did the right thing and gave him that full dollar amount of what he would have been. So classy move by Pittsburgh on that. They could have saved $1 million in cap space. They said, no, we want to make sure he's paid appropriately.
We like that. We like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very classy move.
Oh, very. Let's go over the Bengals injuries. They also have four injuries on their injury report. Three of them being tight ends and the other one a wide receiver. So when we look at these tight ends, there's only four on the depth chart, to be clear. Their number one overall guy, Hayden Hurst, is not injured, which is, I don't want to say unfortunate, but whatever. Devin Asiasi, tight end, had a quad injury, did not participate all week. He's already listed as out for the game. Mitchell Wilcox, tight end, injured an ankle, was limited practice throughout the week until Friday. Full participation on Friday. He is questionable for the game. And then Drew Sample had a knee injury. He was full participation all week. It's just listing the injury he's going to play. And then Trent Taylor, the wide receiver, had a hamstring injury with limited practice all week. Listed as questionable, but with a hamstring injury, very easy to re-injure that. I don't see him playing in this game. And if he does, very, very limited.
If he wasn't full on Friday with a hamstring, in my opinion, there's absolutely no way he plays. But also, he's not even one of their top three wide receivers, so I don't know how much he would have seen the field anyway.
Yeah.
So unless he had some return ability or some duties as a gunner or a jammer or something like that, I don't think he would have really seen the field all that
much. He is number one on punt return and number two on kick return.
There you go. So he was the return guy, which that's actually a lot more significant. So,
especially when their backup punt returner is one of their top three receivers, Tyler Boyd. I don't think they want him doing those.
And Boyd, I don't think is really like the speed demon. He's more of a big dude, isn't he?
He's pretty quick.
Is he quick?
I mean, he's not super quick, but he's pretty quick.
Kind of like Jerome Bettis when he said, I'm not fast, but I'm kind of quick. That kind of quick?
Yeah, that kind of quick.
No?
Well,
maybe.
Maybe.
You looked like you were looking something up. I wasn't sure.
I was trying to look at the depth chart and see if there was anything behind him, but on both things that I have pulled up on there, on like the app version and the Bengals.com depth chart, there's nothing behind Tyler Boyd. So I don't know who would be the next guy up.
So it's basically just Boyd. That's it, man. Yeah. He's the return guy.
Chris now. Evans, the running back, is the kick return guy, though.
Is that something we should be concerned about, being that he also has some abilities as a Guardian of the Galaxy?
Chris Evans?
Yeah.
That's the wrong Evans. That's Captain America. We're not worried about that at all.
No, okay, cool. He's not going to come on the field with a shield or anything.
No. All right,
that's good. If it was the other Chris Evans, I might be more worried.
Nah, we'd just serenade him with some pretty singing, because that's his weakness, his love, apparently.
Yeah, so. You just got to put a nurse on the field, right? And then he's done.
No, she wasn't a nurse. She was agent. She was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Peggy Carter.
Well, wasn't, like, early in the whole series, wasn't it, like, a nurse that he fell in love with back in, like, the 30s or something?
No, it was the agent Peggy Carter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Marvel rant here. Don't mind my Marvel figurines behind me right here. You're watching on YouTube.
But Cody knows his Marvel.
I do know my Marvel. Anyways, he did have... I'm not going to get into that right now. If you want to know Marvel stuff, talk to me after the show. So that's it for that. Pittsburgh, real quick, before we go into talking the game and the depth chart for the Bengals and breaking down that, and then our three keys to success. Pittsburgh will be honoring the late Dwayne Haskins with wearing number 3 on their helmets this year. It's a black 3 with the yellow circle around it. Looks very good, very honoring. Still very sad to think back to that. I don't want to think about it too much. I'm not going to get emotional.
Classy move.
It's just sad. It's just really sad.
Yeah.
But then the last thing on the list, we had someone else move to the IR for practice.
Yep, Hamill Carver-Shed Jr. He was on the practice squad. Must have got injured during practice. He went to the IR. So they'll make moves appropriately for that. I think they already signed another outside linebacker to the practice squad to cover that. But unfortunate that he won't get the opportunity to develop his skills on the practice squad. Hopefully it's just not a significant injury, and then we'll see another move and he'll come back soon. But we'll see how that goes. Let's talk about this Cincinnati Bengals roster, man. Let's talk about the offense and what weaponry they've got. I mean, last year Pittsburgh really struggled slowing down their offense. A lot of the same weapons are there, minus the tight end, CJ Uzomah. He really he beat us up pretty good last year, and he's no longer a Cincinnati Bengal. So honestly, I was really happy to see him go in free agency, because that was just a nightmare for Pittsburgh last year trying to cover tight ends. And Hayden Hurst has some talent, but I don't think he's anywhere near as good a receiving tight end as what CJ Uzomah was. So I think that's a step backwards for Cincinnati at the tight end position. And then it seems like if your name's not Hayden Hurst, you're injured right now at tight end. So I think the depth there might be a concern for them, but the wide receivers are ridiculously talented. And Joe Burrow was a real issue for us last year, as was the running game.
And the running game is still there.
Yeah, Jamar Chase is still an extremely talented individual. I do like that Akello Witherspoon will see him a lot this game. I don't think for a second, though, that Akello Witherspoon is going to follow him around from left to right or wherever. So hopefully they line Jamar Chase up on the same side as Witherspoon a lot, because he's our best corner. But if they intentionally put him on the other side to get favorable matchups, we already know that that's a lot more difficult for Cam Sutton. I don't know if Levi Wallace will have any more success than Cam did. But athletically, Jamar is just such an elite talent that it's a very difficult matchup for Cam Sutton, being kind of an average athletic corner.
Yep. I think that our deep secondary, the safeties are going to have their hands full this game, because they're going to be responsible for coming up and cleaning up some runs that break through, because it's bound to happen at some point. I hope it doesn't. I really hope it doesn't. But then on top of that, if Jamar Chase or T Higgins, any of these guys get downfield and get past somebody, they're going to have to be the ones to break it up or make sure they don't get in the end zone. So
I think this is really important this year that the defensive front do a better job against the run. It's really, really monumental having a healthy Tyson Alualu for this game, because we did not have that on either of the matchups last year.
Nope.
Also, we didn't have Miles Jack on either of the matchups last year. So now we got Miles Jack to try to help neutralize Joe Mixon. If Devin Bush can play a little bit better than what he did last year, which he looked better in the third preseason game. So we'll see how this translates going forward. I think if he struggles, they'll probably have a quick hook with him.
Yep.
I think you'll see Robert Spillane very quickly if Devin Bush is getting washed out of the way or just can't find himself in the right position to make plays. Miles Jack is the best middle linebacker we've had since Ryan Shazier right now. So this is immediately an upgrade there and something that will help tremendously. But I don't think that anything happened as far as the abilities of Joe Burrow. You know, I know he's coming off of appendicitis. He just had an appendix taken care of a couple weeks back. So will he be 100%? Probably not, but it'll probably be like 90 or 95%. And that's good enough to still be really good. So,
yep, 100%. With this being said, their offensive line hasn't changed a whole lot. It's improved. James and I were talking before the show. Everyone's talking about how they went out and signed big talent. Well, it's very similar to what Pittsburgh did. They went and signed guys that played on good squads and maybe have enough, you know, technique or something to bring into the team that'll help them as a whole. But none of these guys that they brought in were super crazy good. Like, you know,
You looked at the contracts they gave out, both Alex Kappa and Lael Collins, neither one of them are even $10 million a year. So if these guys were elite talent, they would have been getting the $15 to $20 million a year like elite talent gets. No, get me wrong. These are not bad offensive linemen, but they're not elite like the picture is being painted.
Yeah,
these are definitely beatable guys. These are guys that if you get one-on-one Cam Hayward or Larry Ogunjobi versus an Alex Kappa, Ted Karras, or Cordell Volson, any one of these three, if they're one-on-one against Larry Ogunjobi or Cam Hayward, I like Larry Ogunjobi or Cam Hayward to win those matchups. Yep. It's kind of an advantage for Ogunjobi, too, because he played with the Bengals last year. So he kind of knows some strengths and weaknesses on some of these guys that he's going to be going against this week. Very possible that Larry could have a big game.
Very possible.
There's plenty of motivation there, that's for sure. And he's got plenty of athleticism and ability. So I'm really interested to see how our D-line matches up against this O-line for the Bengals. If they can hold their own, that'll force Cincinnati to be a little bit more one-dimensional, and our safeties will be able to focus more on the pass game instead of worrying about coming up against the run and then balls going over their head all game long.
Yep. And are you ready to move to the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, let's do that.
So their defensive front is still fairly stacked, in my opinion. I think they have a very solid defensive front. You look at Sam Hubbard, DJ Reader, BJ Hill, Trey Hendrickson, and then the linebacker crew, Logan Wilson, Jermaine Pratt. These guys all have NFL experience enough to the point where they've been successful as a unit. The key here is, can this new offensive line that Pittsburgh put together, there's roughly two new guys in on that front. Can they hold their own in the pass blocking and the run blocking? Can they get out ahead of guys and ahead of Najee or ahead of whoever's running the ball, Benny Snell, whatever, and make some key blocks to give the Najee Harris is a beyond talented running back. And we talked about last year that he just didn't have holes to go through. He didn't have opportunity to make plays. Can they give him opportunities to make plays against their defensive front? And then I look at the secondary. I don't know if you want to talk more about the defensive front or not right there.
A little bit. Logan Wilson is the star of the linebacker unit. Yep. Jermaine Pratt, nowhere near as talented as Logan Wilson, but Logan's very good. Hendrickson and Hubbard are good pass rushers, so our tackles will have to have a good game. These guys can get after the quarterback, and Reeder and Hill are stout defensive linemen, so it won't be easy to move them, but I think Jermaine Pratt's the guy you go after. You attack him with Freiermuth, you attack him with Najee Harris in one-on-one situations, and you should be able to win. The secondary, though, man, real high and real low in some areas, right?
If you're talking about Eli Apple, that's a real low one.
Yeah, I honestly am stunned that they're trotting him right back out there as a starting corner again.
Yep.
Definitely an opportunity for Pittsburgh with Trubisky. Just attack whoever he's covering. You know, whether that be Chase Claypool or George Pickens, or even better yet, if Deontay Johnson is somehow matched up one-on-one with Eli Apple, throw it that way, man. Also, Mike Hilton. We know Mike Hilton very well.
Very well.
We know that Mike Hilton is stout against the run. We know that Mike Hilton can cover in short areas. But if you make Mike Hilton run deep and start making him run on longer routes, that's where he falls off. His coverage is great in short areas, but his long speed is his weakness.
Yep. And you got to watch for him coming off the edge for a blitz. You got to watch those. He gets those QB sacks.
Yep. And Najee should have no problem picking up Mike Hilton. He's way stronger than Mike Hilton, assuming that he recognizes it and sees him come.
Yep.
But what I want to see is use our big-bodied receivers against Mike Hilton. Throw some slot fades, do some matchup type stuff, throw the ball high in the air, and make little 5'9" Mike Hilton try to get up in the air against 6'3" and 6'4" wide receivers and take advantage of the strengths that you have. Because our number two and number three wide receivers are very tall, very physical dudes.
Yeah.
So let's make them work hard and make them work above the rim. That's where you can beat Mike Hilton in speed and in above the rim situations. And both Claypool and Pickens can definitely do that.
Yep. And then you just got to be careful with the safeties they have. You know, Von Bell and Jesse Bates III coming back, I believe, on a franchise tag, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, baby. We screwed them so bad. I love it. Yep, that big old deal that we gave Minka. Cincinnati said, no, we ain't giving you that much, Jesse. And then Derwin James got even more than Minka, and now the bar is set even higher. And this will be the last year you have to deal with Jesse Bates as a Cincinnati Bengal, I'm pretty sure. I think they went and got somebody. Yeah, they got Dax Hill in the draft.
Yep.
So Dax will just end up being the guy next year, which he's a pretty talented safety out of Michigan, if I remember correctly on the school there.
6'191".
Yeah. So, but it'll be the last year that we have to deal with Jesse, most likely.
Yep. So again, super excited for football to be back. I'm ready for this. We'll talk about their special teams here. Again, Trent Taylor was the lead punt returner. Probably going to be Tyler Boyd, my guess. And then Chris Evans is their kick returner as well. Evan McPherson, solid kicker. Nothing to, you know, go crazy about. Kevin Huber is their punter. Decent punter. He's been in the league for a while, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's looking at he's been in the league for 14 years now, if I'm not mistaken. So,
that's a long haul, man.
Long haul, very long haul.
And 14 then, years experience. He's 37 years old, my lord.
Yeah, he's up there in age. And then Clark Harris, they're long snappers because they matter too. But again,
yes,
I'm ready for football. I'm excited to watch Steelers football on Sunday, and it'll be weird because I'll be watching it at noon instead of 1 o'clock. So that will be strange.
Absolutely. So do you want to go over your three keys and then I'll do mine, or you want me to do mine first?
No, I'll do mine. All right. My three keys to success. One is utilize the midfield passing game. Throw over the linebackers, but below the safeties. We have quarterbacks now that, not that Ben couldn't make those throws, but Ben got a little inconsistent at the end of his career. I want to see these quarterbacks come out and play well. So utilize the midfield game. Number two, offensive line needs to hold their ground. They need to be able to give time for Najee to get a hole and give time for Mitch to make these passes happen. And then number three is, and this is kind of broad, but whatever, is don't give up the big plays on defense, running or passing. We have to minimize the big plays that they get, those 15 plus yards rushing and those 25 plus yards passing plays. We need to minimize because this team can be explosive. The Bengals are an explosive team now, and people forget because of how fast that transition happened. You know, when they got Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase back-to-back years, the top blew off with them. And Joe Mixon was already there. Joe Mixon got even better than he already was. This team is no joke. They obviously were in the Super Bowl last year. So don't allow those big plays on defense.
I like them. My first one is the Steelers defensive line. We need to see a drastic improvement against the run, and it starts with those guys up front. It looks like they're all healthy right now. We got some young pieces that are adding to the puzzle. I don't want to see a lot of Chris Wormley in this game. His specialty is no longer as a run stuffer. He has a real issue with being washed, getting too vertical, and getting moved around. So I want to see a ton of Tyson Alualu in Larry Ogunjobi and Cam Hayward. And when the three of them are not in, I would much rather see Isaiah Loudermilk or Montrevious Adams over Chris Wormley, because I just feel like they're more stout against the run.
Yep.
Number two. I want to see a successful run game. We can't have a bunch of 0 and 1 and 2 yard runs and have a bunch of third and long and allow them to just pin their ears back and run after the quarterback. That will not go well. So we've absolutely got to have a successful run game in this game. And then number three, it's our middle linebackers. Slowing down Joe Mixon in both the run game and the pass game. Joe Mixon is not just going to be running the ball. We're going to throw it at him too. Hayden Hurst does have some talent. Yeah. And in previous years, our middle linebacker play has just been atrocious. In the addition of Miles Jack and the possibility of seeing Devin Bush play back more to his form of what he was when he was a rookie. And if not him, let's try Mark Robinson. Let's get Robert Spillane out there. But our middle linebackers have got to step up and help clean up against the run. And that's where I think that we can succeed if we can utilize those things.
Abso-frickin-lutely. Absolutely. I can't agree more. Again, thank you guys so much for listening, for following, for liking, for subscribing, all the things. We can't thank you guys enough for continuing to help us chase our dreams of being podcasters, chase our dreams of talking Steelers all the time. So again, thank you guys. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.